And right now it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library and joins us now in the studio. How are you?
I'm great. You
right?
were like very energetic when you said that. It was almost like monster truck level.
Trying.
Like, joining us
Sunday,
now.
Sunday.
The Chapel Hill Public Library.
Library.
Anyways.
I am trying to like ramp myself up as much as possible because I've spent the last 2 hours staring out this normally gorgeous window at this normally gorgeous mall parking lot, but today it's just gray and cold, and you can tell it's cold. It's one of those days when you can look out the window and like, yeah, it's cold.
It's downright wintry out there.
A little bit,
I'm
right?
I'm just saying.
It's a blustery day.
It's cold and damp, and it's going to get better, though, right?
Yeah, Friday.
Yes, Friday.
Yeah,
one more
day of this, and then the sun's going to be back out, and it's fine. The sun will come out the day after tomorrow.
Is that right?
Yeah,
Annie
yeah.
was almost right.
Annie was almost right. She'll be right tomorrow. That's why she's so optimistic about it.
So,
cool.
We just changed my bumper music last week.
Yes.
In fact, was the first time. I almost, though, emailed you and said, for today's show, how about putting on the Quad City DJs Space Jam theme? I almost asked you to put Welcome to the Space Jam as the bumper music.
Because
we are going to talk basketball.
Right.
I'm
yeah.
just saying. I thought about that. Because who doesn't love that song?
Oh, what about Sweet
you
Georgia
apparently,
Brown?
You apparently, by that look on your face
I'm
when I mentioned the Space Jam
I'm just not a fan of that
theme.
Movie is the problem.
I struggle with it. So it was not a movie of my childhood.
Yeah.
And I know that it's this like cultural touchstone, and I've watched it 14,000 times with
course,
my own children.
Of course.
I don't hate it. I
but.
Don't love it. It's just bizarre. Every
right?
time I watch it, I'm like, why do people love this movie? It's just weird.
I didn't see it when I was growing up.
I didn't
so
either.
I was a little bit too old for it. And missed it. And so I haven't actually seen the movie all the way through. Like, I've seen a couple of clips. And the couple of clips that I've seen, I had the same reaction, which is, what on earth is this? Because, you see it out of context.
Right.
And it's just wild. And B, you don't see it at the right time in your life. And then you go back to it later, and it's like, yeah, this is not good.
But that song, though. That song.
I'm sure the song is great.
I do love the song.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that movie start to finish because my kids put it on and then I'm like, sure, I'll watch this with you. And then I either fall asleep, wake up later, or I'm like, you know, sneaking, like reading Twitter on my phone under the blanket so they can't see me because I'm pretending like I'm paying attention to this very strange movie. But anyways, we're not talking about movies.
We're not talking about movies. We're talking about basketball.
Basketball books, because it's basketball season.
It's basketball
I love,
season, yeah.
As I always do, I loved hearing Deb Stroman on before me because, you know, when you have kids, you're into what they're into. You know, when my older son was three, I was really into tractors because he was really into tractors.
Right.
A couple years ago, my younger son was really into cars, so I was like really into sports cars. And now we're really into basketball.
Oh, yeah.
So I like knew most of the people she was talking about when you guys were talking about the NBA, but basketball.
So is your family like really into the NBA or the NCAA
all of it?
Okay.
All of it. My older son is well, they're both really into the NBA, but right now he's like peak NBA. And I'll just tell you, it like used to be I would take a trip for a conference or go somewhere for work and I could get away with like buying them a little trinket in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wherever I go, they're like, could you bring us back a jersey from that NBA team?
Oh, wow.
Jerseys are like really
expensive.
So
also, I think you can get those in the airport.
That's right. They're even
most
more expensive
airports,
in
that's
the airport,
true.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, no.
You're paying like Brooks Brothers level
right.
prices for that.
So, I don't know, for about the last year and a half, basketball has just kicked in and has not stopped, which is really fun when you live in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, and
I am kind of off the end. NBA though, because my team, like growing up in Michigan, my team is the Pistons, and I was like 9-10 when they were really good.
Yeah.
So we were all huge Pistons fans, but they haven't really, like they had their heyday come again like about 10, 15 years ago, but they're not really that good now, but they're not terrible. They're just kind of eh.
Right.
And when you've got a team that's just consistently kind of eh, after a while, you just you start to lose it, or I do, and you have to find another team, and I haven't found another team yet. So
and I think it's interesting too, because we are not Hornets fans. My kids are just not Hornets fans. So like you would
they're
think
they're kind of right?
Well, right.
Yeah.
So my older son is they're actually both this way. My older brother, when we were kids, we were all Redskins fans. Growing up, we were a football family. The whole family was Redskins. And then one year he rooted for the Cowboys just to be ornery. And then he decided that he was a fan of the Raiders. And he's been a lifelong Raiders fan.
Okay.
No connection whatsoever.
Did you ever figure out why the switch happened?
He just liked the team. He just liked, I don't know if it was a player, the colors, the mascot. So my kids, my younger son loves the Philadelphia 76ers, but my older son loves the Milwaukee Bucks. Who knows why? I think it's mostly because of Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, the big tall guy.
Wow, you just rattled that name right off. That's good.
I practice a lot.
I have no idea if you're even correct.
Oh,
I assume
I
that you
it.
Are.
I nailed it, yeah.
I've seen that name written down, and I just skim right over it. I'm not even sure there are people in Milwaukee who are fans of the Milwaukee Bucks.
They are now. They're
apparently.
Really good.
Yeah, I know. They're
really
good.
They beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
So we can't go any further than this, because then my knowledge just stops. I can pronounce my son's favorite player correctly.
That's
I can
good.
Tell you who they beat last week. And that's about it.
Cool.
Other than books about basketball,
okay.
I can talk about that.
So let's talk books about basketball.
Okay.
All right. If you love basketball, you will love...
Am I going first?
Yes.
I'll go first.
I'll go
so
first
the
if
first
you, want.
You go first.
All right, cool. So I've got three books to recommend. One is I grew up in Michigan, Pistons fan in the late 80s, early 90s when they were super fun, but I have always been a Michigan State fan. Got to see them win the national championship in 2000. That was really cool. Got to watch them make the Final Four a bunch of times. Love that. Tom Izzo is amazing. But of course, the greatest player in Michigan State history is Magic Johnson, who co-wrote a book with Larry Bird called When the Game Was Ours, and it was about their rivalry when they were rivals in college when Magic was with Michigan State and Bird was with Indiana State. The one year when Indiana State was good and they met each other in the championship game, and then they go on to the NBA, and you got that Lakers-Celtics rivalry all the way through the 80s and into the early 90s. So for like 15 years, basketball was all about Bird Magic, Bird Magic, Bird Magic. So they wrote their like co-autobiography called When the Game Was Ours. So that's worth reading.
I love it.
Yeah.
And so the two of them wrote it together.
With a ghostwriter.
There's a ghostwriter.
I
assume.
Yeah.
That's cool though.
Who is the ghostwriter? Jackie McMullen.
Okay.
I assume Jackie McMullen probably did a lot of work on this book, but Larry Bird
but
and Magic
great,
Johnson.
That's great, though. I love it. Yeah, because that was kind of like, that was when I was a kid. I think we're close to the same age.
Not too far off,
younger.
Yeah.
That's who it was. Yeah,
yeah.
Bird and Johnson.
Yep.
So,
I love the cover of this book, too, because it's Larry Bird, Irvin Magic Johnson with Jackie McMullen, When the Game Was Ours.
At least she got her name on the cover.
Yes.
Many ghost writers don't.
Yeah.
So for prepping for this show, which I started doing many, many days ago, not 45 minutes ago when I realized that it's Wednesday and we're about to go on the radio.
You're about 40 minutes ahead of me, if that's the case.
I just basically walked into my son's rooms and said, what books are their favorites? So
right.
I am going to recommend these are hand-selected by my kids. So the first one that I want to recommend, this is a book for adults. Both my kids read it, but it's on the you will find this in the grown-up section, mm-hmm. although it appeals to many ages. It's called Basketball and Other Things, a collection of questions asked, answered, and illustrated.
All right.
So this is a really cool book. The author is Shay Serrano, who also wrote a similar book that's a history of rap. And the illustrator is Arturo Torres, who's a great illustrator. And then Reggie Miller, the basketball player, wrote the foreword. So the hook of this book is that it's not like straight narrative or straight history. It's basically a series of questions about basketball. And then they're answered in short, medium, long sort of essays, responses with drawings. There are some great things. So the author loves to rank things. So there's a whole chapter on like the NBA's greatest hairstyles.
Nice.
Through
like of all
history.
Time?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's also things like the 10 greatest NBA conspiracy theories. There's all kinds of things like that. And then what he does, and some people don't really dig this. I love it. He poses these questions. So I was flipping through the book trying to find some questions, like, you know, if Larry Bird and Magic Johnson played doubles tennis versus, I don't know, Kyrie Irving and somebody, like that type of a thing. But my favorite question in the book, so the response to this question goes over five pages.
Wow.
The question is, if 1997 Karl Malone and a bear swap places for a season, who would be the more successful? So if you laugh when you hear that question and think, I really want to read five pages about that, this book is for you. If you hear that and just kind of groan like you're doing, maybe it's not for you.
I feel like the bear would just get 3 second lane violations called against him, like on such a regular basis.
But this guy writes five pages thinking about Karl Malone and a bear swapping places, but in 1997.
In 1997,
right?
No, of course.
So these are...
when Karl was at his peak.
Exactly.
And the bear was just starting out.
So anyways, it is for true basketball nerds, written by true basketball nerds. There's some humor, but there's also some serious like delving into thoughts about the NBA and all the players. It's great. I love it. And it is a well-worn copy that has been passed back and forth between my kids.
What is the number one conspiracy theory of basketball?
Oh,
do you remember?
The only
one that I can think of is when the refs obviously gave the Western Conference Finals to the Lakers instead of the Kings that one year. Was it 2002
That's
or
in
4
there.
Or something like
That's
that?
That's in there, yeah.
It's
I can't
be.
Remember the first one, though. Yeah. But, yeah. You could buy that book or check it out.
All right.
And find that answer.
Cool. Talking books with Susan Brown. We're talking basketball books. So I can't get out of this segment without plugging two books in particular that are written by our own Art Chansky.
If you didn't do it, I was going to.
Good. I'm glad we're both on the same page. So he's got two recent ones that are out. Blue Bloods 2, which is the sequel to Blue Bloods 1, hence the name, about the Carolina Duke rivalry, which is, I assume, terrific. I have not read it yet. I need to. The other one that's also very recently out, which is just a fascinating book about a fascinating topic, is called Game Changers, about UNC in the 60s and the early 70s at the height of the civil rights movement when there was so much tension in Chapel Hill. And Chapel Hill was a very conservative town in a lot of ways when it came to civil rights. And there was a lot of resistance and a lot of pushback. And here comes Dean Smith, and he uses his role as the head basketball coach at UNC and that position that he had in Chapel Hill to really move the dial on civil rights in town and also in college basketball by recruiting this legendary star basketball player, Charlie Scott, and that whole story of Dean Smith, Charlie Scott, their relationship, both of them as individuals, the civil rights movement, the ACC, the rise of UNC as this constant national powerhouse, because we'd had those down years in the early 60s, and then it came back, all of that together kind of in the same time period, and Game Changers is all about that. So that's
yeah, that's awesome.
Book. Yeah.
So I wasn't going to recommend these, but you brought up the Blue Blood and made me just think of the Carolina-Duke rivalry. So two other books that are on my kids' bookshelves, one of which, you know, questionable parenting, perhaps. No, not really, not really. So I will say Duke's going to be real good this year. Have you seen them play? It pains me to say that, but
yeah,
holy cow.
Oh, my God.
UNC's
going to
be amazing.
Game. UNC's real good.
But,
the first night last week, Tuesday, which was election night, so covering the Carolina basketball game, and then we go on the air to do election night coverage. Meanwhile, like over on this TV over here, just in the background on mute is just happens to be the Duke Kentucky game, but we're on the air like doing election stuff, and this, you know, Democrats are winning here, Republicans are winning here, these are still undecided. I look over and Duke's up like 50-6 on Kentucky. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah. So
crazy.
I'm just gonna say that
in
once.
Indiana that night.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that once. Duke's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to
it's fun.
UNC team and all of that. And I would recommend two books. The first one is To Hate Like This Is to Be Happy Forever,
yes.
Thoroughly obsessive, intermittently uplifting, and occasionally unbiased account of the Duke-UNC basketball rivalry.
Will
Blythe is a great book. And then another one, also very, very well-worn copy that sits on my kids' bookshelves, is a book called Duke Sucks. a completely even-handed, unbiased investigation into the most evil team on planet Earth by Reed Tucker. So this is one that, I mean, the title really says it all.
Of course.
But if you have Carolina fans that do not have that book and you're looking for something, if they have a sense of humor and don't mind.
Need to have that book.
Yes,
yeah.
That's a must-have.
Awesome.
Companion piece to the Blythe book, I would say.
Sounds good. That's Talking Books for this week. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.